God bless you for having made of your holiday a holy day by hearing Holy Mass during this beautiful novena of preparation for the Holy Ghost. One of Our Lady's beautiful days in May, and the day that is set aside for us, as I've been saying, to remember with piety those who have died in our wars, our soldiers, the living soldiers and sailors too. We should pray for them, that our Blessed Mother protect them, bring them home safely, bring them home to heaven safely, in the one port of salvation, the Holy Catholic Church, and that all of our beloved dead. This is the true example of the virtue of piety, one of the gifts we are praying for the Holy Ghost to bestow upon us in abundance. After Mass today, we conclude by singing together the ancient, beautiful Veni Creator as we continue the novena in preparation for Pentecost. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Yesterday I spoke to you a little bit about Pope Pius VII, and today I want to speak to you about today's saint, Saint Gregory. Pope Pius VII, and now a Gregory the VII. They were, both of them, vicars of Christ, true and holy popes. But in a certain sense, from a point of view of personality or their role in the life of the Church, they couldn't have been more different. But at the same time, they were both of them true popes and vicars of Christ. Pope Saint Gregory the VII lived almost 1,000 years ago. And he was the Pope who brought the Church out of what was a true dark ages. There were three great evils that were afflicting the Church during the feudal time. Remember the whole system, there wasn't any empire anymore since the fall of the Roman Empire, especially in the West. The whole system was a feudal one of vassals. That is to say that there were all these local princes or dukes, rulers who had a little part of the country, and they would fight with each other, and they would need protection, so they would band together under a king. It was all sort of a loose system. It was all based on sort of a mutual protection. From the point of view of the Church, very often the bishop, beginning with the Bishop of Rome and St. Gregory the Great, had to be the true king or ruler because there was no one else. And at the same time, bishops had, as a way of guaranteeing their political independence and their financial independence, lands that were under their control, whose income furnished the needs of the bishop in his work, and this physical property gave the bishop a certain liberty. That was the case of the Pope and the case of many of the bishops. That was the situation, and unfortunately, that led to many of the secular rulers either claiming a role in an authority over the bishop, or it led to the terrible sin of simony that was rife in the Church 10 centuries ago. Simony is the buying and selling of church offices. That, connected with the sin of clerical concubinage, that is to say, of priests who were not keeping their holy vows of chastity, and indeed sometimes it entered into the married state and made of their office kind of a hereditary one. And then the third great evil that afflicted the Church was that of lay investiture. That is to say, that the king or the emperor, he would name the bishop, he would appoint him, very often with an exchange of money, and then he would give him his ring and his crozier, and to say that all of his power depended upon the secular ruler. Now, none of this would do. It led the Church into a horrible and a true dark age. And our Lord, in his goodness, the Holy Ghost, raised up a wonderful saint to fight against it. The whole of the life of Gregory the VII was to fight for the liberty of the Church so as to reform the Church and so as to save souls and make people to be holy again. The papacy in particular had been terribly degraded, and the power was either in the hand of an oligarchy, some wealthy Roman families, or during our era, where the power was in the hand of the German Emperor, Henry IV. And this is how the stage was set for the terrible conflict. Gregory, his name at baptism, Hildebrand, is from the German meaning a flaming torch, in effect. took the name at when he was elected Pope of Gregory, which means vigilant. He truly was a vigilant pastor. He was a monk. With his training as a monk, he was detached from all of the goods of this world. He cared only for God, for God's glory, and for souls. And so when the time came for him to reform the church by fighting against these abuses, he shows himself to be the bravest of soldiers, and at the same time, one of the most glorious generals that ever lived in all of history, to whom every school child should look up, and about whom every school child should learn fully, because he had such a seminal influence on the whole life of the church. His personality was a great one. He was immense and powerful, and he stood alone, and he knew he was standing alone, and he forced the kings and emperors to their knees before him. Pius VII had quite a different personality. Remember I told you that Napoleon, that false emperor of the revolution, reminiscing about him towards the end of his life, would say with tears, he was a lamb. He was truly a lamb. And he was a lamb in many respects. And sometimes, unfortunately, the papacy itself was degraded because of his own kind of a more of a passive or very, very meek personality. For example, the first time Pius VII met Napoleon. Napoleon had craftily engineered it that he should be hunting in the forest outside of the palace of Fontainebleau, outside of Paris. And when he saw the papal carriage come up, why then he had his party of hunters ride up to a certain distance from where the Pope was. The Pope's carriage stopped, and he waited. It was a rainy day, and he made the Pope, all in his white train and his white satin slippers with the cross on them that Catholics used devoutly to kiss. Because it was the Pope, his God on earth, remember. Well, he waited until the Pope was forced to walk through the mud to greet him. And that pretty much symbolizes still today the way the godless revolutionaries will treat the Catholic Church. On the other hand, Gregory VII made the emperor, Henry IV, wait for 3 days, they say, in the snow, in winter, outside of the castle in Canossa in northern Italy. And then finally, thinking that the Pope did, as he did, that the emperor was contrite, he absolved him of his excommunication. But it was all only a strategy on the part of Henry IV, and as soon as he could, he mounted his attack again against the Holy Father. He was a pope who accomplished so very much, but who never lived to enjoy the fruit of it at all. He led the church into the most glorious of ages, the 12th and the 13th centuries, the ages of faith, and which gave the church so many saints and so many heroes. But he himself, as he was dying in exile, he died in exile. Pius VII lived about 5-6 years in exile, but our Pope today actually died in exile. He cried out, "I have loved justice," quoting the Psalms, "and I've hated iniquity, and therefore I die in exile." One of the bystanders at his deathbed, this was in Salerno in Italy, one of the bystanders said, "Oh, Holy Father, to you is given all of the disposal of all of the kingdoms of this world as Christ's vicar, and you could never be an exile." Then thus he gave up his soul to Almighty God. What a glorious pope he is, and what an example of true courage. He wrote once to some of the bishops to encourage them to be brave and to be strong. And he wrote quite a bit about the role of suffering in our lives, as it is in all of our lives. And he used the comparison that is still as fresh as today. He said, "Look at all of these soldiers, and look at how much they suffer for their earthly lord." And many of the soldiers of his day were simply mercenaries. They were simply hired. They weren't doing it out of any sense of piety. They were just doing it as a way of life that was fairly agreeable to them. Look at all of these soldiers, these mercenaries, he said, who lay down their lives, in effect, for nothing. And then, look at us. Which of us, he says to the bishops, which of us has died in the support of the King of Kings and for the glories of the Holy Catholic Church for the salvation of souls. But nobody had died. There were these conflicts, and there were wars, and there were exiles, but nobody had died. And he animates his fellow Catholic bishops that they should be brave, that they should be strong, seeing this example. Let us say the same today. Keep the wounded soldier in your prayers, but also in your mind today. Keep the sailor lost someplace on the sea in your prayers and in your mind today. What they do for an earthly lord and for a packet of money and for some possibility to make it through this wretched life, this godless world of ours today, let us do and more for the glorious King of Kings whom we serve. And in serving him, let us realize that exile or worse may be our fate, but if we serve our Lord, and our Lord is King of all, we can never really know exile. Or rather, the only exile that a Christian knows is this earth, until we go home to heaven. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.